Hey, this is Michael Bell. You're listening to What's on Joe Mind. The final score of Super Bowl 46, New York Giants 21, New England Patriots 17. Wah, wah.
Welcome to episode 68 of What's on Joe Mind. We're a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. We are now officially less than 180 days to G.I. Joe Retaliation. Can you feel the excitement? Yeah, you guys are
fine. I'm excited.
Anyways, as always, joining me is our showrunner and king of the fanboys, Chuck. Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing good, Gary. Did you know that Robert Guillaume is still alive?
That's fantastic news for Robert.
And Ben Vereen.
That I did know.
Yeah, I had guys dead and buried for quite a while now, so.
What brings these up, Chuck? Just random people that are alive?
Random thoughts from Chuck.
The Chuck family was discussing this earlier in the evening.
Is this Chuck family trivia?
Yeah, basically.
Now, are you stumped as often during family trivia as you are during our trivia?
No, not really. No.
I know, you thought those two guys were dead. That's pretty stumped.
He assumed that he knows stuff in the family.
So, Chuck, have you recovered from your Gundam-style injury?
Oh, yes, yes. My hip is much better. You know, a little shiatsu massage, a little light stretching.
I don't ever want to hear anything with massage and stretching from you ever again on this program.
I'm going to say, you didn't mention the essence of Chuck, so that's all.
Also joining us is the commissioner, Beachhead Mike.
How's everybody?
Doing good.
Doing good, Mike. Now, this week, normally it's Chuck having the connection issues. It's Mike. What's the deal, man? Are you developing the shit touch again? And there we go.
I'm just going to take that silence as a yes.
Yeah, he just fell off all of a sudden there, so we'll pick him back up. The other voice is Justin. Justin, how are you?
All right, how you doing, Gary?
No complaints. What's new and rocking with you in the online world?
Not a whole lot. Well, for the online world, nothing much. For the real world, I'm getting ready to head to Vegas in a few days for work, so that'll be some work and some fun, and that's about it. Just kind of getting ready for my trip. I did post a couple reviews for some upcoming G.I. Joe Retaliation figures that are all on General's Joe's, which we'll talk about a little bit later, I guess. Besides that, just status quo.
Now, is this your first trip to Vegas?
My first trip to Vegas.
And just to let you know, folks, he is scouting for the Collectors Club.
That's right. I'm their advanced scout. 2013 con in Vegas. You heard it here first.
Take that to the bank, folks. Get your airline tickets and hotel reservations today.
I know. But no, things are good. I've got a little dog illness we're dealing with tonight, so if I get yanked away, that little guy had some surgery today, and he's still recuperating from the anesthesia, so it's been a very messy evening. I'll just leave it at that.
Ew. Steam cleaner's ready, right?
Yeah.
And it happens to be on a new carpet, right?
Of course.
Of course.
I wouldn't believe this.
No. I believe you, because we just steam cleaned our carpet, and no more than 2 days after that, our dog decided to have intestinal issues.
Yeah.
He never has his stuff.
Yeah. In our old house, you know, we went months without anything going on. We moved into this new house, and now probably four times since we've moved in, there's been various incidents on our new carpet. It's just insane.
I think Mike's back.
All right.
Yeah.
Mike, you there?
Barely. Apparently. We're just hanging on by fingertips today. Like I said, I apologize. We just keep losing internet. I'm not sure what's up with that. We've got the head of the household is screaming off at the cable people right now, so we're hoping to deal with it.
Sure beats having intestinal issues like you had a few episodes ago.
True. I was happy that I got through a Kevin Watts episode without feeling violently ill. We were just proud enough that we pulled that one off.
Yeah, I was thinking of you, but figured that you were Mike Strong on that one.
You don't want to jinx this crap. You don't want to jinx this stuff.
Yeah, what's going on with the Giants?
Too many people believe in them right now. There's just too much love for the New York Giants in the room. Clearly, we need to be closer to November and December for them to revert to their normal Patriot-destroying ways.
They got to start talking about firing Coach Coughlin again. That's what it is.
Exactly. There needs to be a hot seat.
Not nearly as hot as the quarterback seat for the Jets, though.
That thing's so hot, man. His ass is melted. Carrying the banner, the New York Jets.
We will put a halt to football for the time being. This person I'm getting ready to introduce here.
Is it Ben Vereen?
He's still alive, you know.
Yeah.
He's out there, Gary. Why are we not getting Ben Vereen?
Chuck, get on that. Back when we started the podcast, this is Greg, Chuck, and myself, 90 episodes ago, 90 combined episodes, April of 2011.
we had a short list of people that we wanted to interview. And the reason why the list was short is, well, frankly, we didn't think we would last that long. We decided to keep the list manageable. So we had hack webmasters that we wanted to interview and noted authors and that type of thing. But at the top of the list was this man.
It is Ben Vereen.
He really is known through every corner of the fandom. He is known for quality work, great customer service, being a fellow collector, and a genuine good guy. It is my pleasure and our honor to present to you the one, the only, Marauder John. John, how are you?
Hey, thank you very much. I'm wonderful. Great to be here, guys. That was a very nice intro. Thank you. That's very, very flattering. Thank you.
Well, every now and then I'm good for the intros. Normally Justin's the one that has the Emmy-worthy.
Justin gets him crying in the aisles, but Gary is serviceable.
No, that was good. I'm proud of you, Gary.
Thank you.
After all the Ben Vereen talk, I don't know whether I should introduce myself as MJ or Chicken George, right?
Now he was in the movie. I can see everyone right now on their computers going to Google Ben Vereen.
Yeah.
So, John, how long have you been working with Ben Vereen?
He's the talent of the bunch. I'm just the silent partner.
Well, John is here with us tonight to talk about not only his business and what he does and all about gun running, but he's also here to talk to us tonight about his ongoing and current Kickstarter campaign.
John, I'll start off with like the easy one. How did you get your start making 3¾-inch weapons for G.I. Joe type figures?
Hey, Chuck. Well, it just stemmed from a need. I've always been a collector. I've been passionate about the 3¾ figures, but especially army building. It's a disease. I just can't stop. And years ago, I would army build. My favorite one to do were the Cobra Vipers. I love that nameless, faceless minions. And I would do the same thing with version 1 Fireflies, because if you take the character away from the one you've known, it's a fantastic army builder. You could have 40, 50 of those guys, and they're just like a nameless, faceless minion. So I would army build. And my toughest part was finding a weapon I would like to display with them. I wasn't too fond of green guns or light gray guns. I wanted ones that were in scale with the guys that also had some detail. So I really tried to find as many of the Snow Serpent version 1 AK-47s with folding stock. That was my ideal troop builder gun. I was really happy with the color, but I could overlook that for the features of that weapon. So this is back in the old days. I'd go to all the G.I. Joe conventions in the 90s. Of course, my army builder guides, but I would look for the weapon. And you go to the big bargain bin and you dig through there, you find the item. And if you were lucky enough to find one, if it was still intact, most people would want $8 to $10 just for the gun. You get the figures for anywhere from $4 to $5 each, but then $10 for a gun. Next thing you know, you're spending twice as much to equip these guys. I just couldn't satisfy my requirements of my army. So I thought, well, hey, if I'm having this trouble, maybe the other people out there are having the same kind of problem. So I said, well, how about if we look at providing these items in scale for the characters, try to increase the detail and also do them in black, which I always thought was a more appropriate color. And it's also a color that you can paint if needed. So I talked to a couple of folks and it was kind of a lukewarm response because there are a lot of people who have been doing custom things and we've all seen the trials and tribulations of things cast in resin. A lot of things just didn't meet that quality level because if I'm going to display something with my figures, I'm always a purist when it comes to the items that came with the figures. It had to have that item. So I'm going to step outside of that restriction I placed upon myself. I really wanted the item to fit and look like it was made for that particular figure. It works with that particular line. So released the very first series. I decided, well, I got to put my money where my mouth is. Everyone can talk a mean talk. Well, you're going to talk the talk. Let's see if I can walk the walk. So I knew some fantastic sculptors. And I said, listen, can you make this for me? And they said, sure, we can do it. So they went and they sculpted up these big prototypes. They're about like 1/3 scale. They're about anywhere from 10 to 12 inches big. So you get all the detail. Then you take it to another place and you had it shrunk down to your desired scale. You want desired size. And then there's another area that you get it tooled up. And then you get to production, get everything. So after long story short, after working on this for quite a few months, I finally, in the summer of 2005, I had the first release. And talk about a trial by fire. Rather than just launching it quietly on a website or going to the different Joe boards and mentioning it, I set up at the Minneapolis G.I. Joe convention. And we talk about swimming with sharks. I said, I had to get an entire table. I only had enough stuff for one small 2-foot corner of it. And I gave the rest of it to Kevin Watts. He did a lot of G.I. Joe stuff. So listen, you can have the rest of this table. I just need this one little corner. And I set up and I said, either I'm going to sink or swim. You know, the most difficult people to please is a G.I. Joe collector. And they'll tell you. They'll say, oh my gosh, get the hell out of here. Or We think you like what you're doing. So I remember setting up before the convention. I walked into the dealer room with my little badge on. I'd gone to every convention since 94, just as a collector. This is the first time where I walked into the dealer arena. So I set up my little 2x2 section on the table. I had a little hand-drawn sign that I wrote. I said, custom guns. It looked like something a four-year-old would draw, but I just set it up. I had my little figure set up and the guns and the display. And long story short, the response at that convention was just phenomenal. The idea was accepted by my fellow collectors. They saw what I was trying to achieve, and they were really pleased and reacted positively to the items. And we did a tremendous amount of business there. But not so much the business was important, was the acceptance by my fellow collectors saying, hey, I like that item. That item I will display with my figures. I will use it with my figures. Thank you for doing that. And another thing is I got dozens and dozens of suggestions. So it just grew from that point. Going out there and gambling with the whole idea of, well, I'm going to put all this money up. I'm going to check it out. Is it fill the dreams? If you build it, they will come. Or it could just be like the old lady years from now, just all these sitting around, all these guns, you know, like the old lady with the cats, it'd be the old guy with the. Thanks to God, it's worked out nicely. So after that convention, I got a lot of great suggestions, a lot of good feedback. We rolled into the second series, which we released the following spring, and then the third series and fourth series and fifth series, sixth series. And so this last June, we just released the sixth series. Again, they're all from your suggestions, your requests. I mean, we keep track of these things. Just some phenomenal ideas. I don't know everything about weapons. I would never say that I do. I've learned so much from you folks because you say, hey, could you make this particular gun from this particular scenario with these particular accessories? And I have to sit back and go, hold that thought. Let me go research what you just asked me. And I go look at it and say, oh, I saw the picture. I saw the other thing. Everything you mentioned, everything about it. Oh, that's a great idea. I'll add it to the candidate list. So up to that point, it had been based on the first 5-6 series had been based on the most requested item. And as we're still doing that now with the Kickstarter program, we kind of posted here are the top 50 because there are so many requests, so many things that we'd love to bring to market, but you have to find some way to sort it through and get the most desirable ones that are going to make the most number of people happy because they're not a big company. I can't come out and say, okay, I'm going to do a 70, 80 item release. Probably most well companies, it's very difficult and expensive. So we try to take the most requested ones and satisfy it on a slow but steady basis. So Chuck, get back to your point. That's kind of how we got started. And this was just basically, it stemmed from need for my own collection and wondering if other people had the same need. And they did, but they also had a lot of other requests. So we tried to just build upon that to not just satisfy their need, but also help them think of other options or avenues for their hobby. And we try to fit those and answer those.
You mentioned you were a fan as well as currently being a retailer. How do you think being a fan helped you develop kind of the products that you have and has helped you succeed doing what you're doing now?
Like I mentioned, there's a toy collector, an adult toy collector, especially like a Joe fan. You're very specific, very particular with what you want, what you like. Like I said, there's some vintage items released in the past. You go, oh, that's a good idea, but oh, the handle's too long or this is too short or I'm not really happy with that color. So approach it from the guiding factors. I was, well, what would I happily position with my guy, with my characters? Or what would I want to equip my squad with? Or if I'm setting up a diorama, what would I think would work with these guys? So looking at it from a collector, if I just took a step back and said, I'm just a person off the street who's a collector and I want secondary market accessories for my guys, I would say this item, would this satisfy my need? Would this make the items, would this add to my collection? So that's how I try to approach it. I mean, we vetoed some items, we've got them back, spent a lot of money on prototypes and tooling, just get it and you go, oh my gosh, I can't. This has to be redone. It's just like place kicking, a field goal kicker. You're only as good as your next kick, okay?
Yep.
I can't come back and say, oh, well, you didn't like these four items, but these other nine we released earlier. Well, no, you always have to try to stay a step ahead. So like the items released in the first series, they were fantastic for their time, and most of them still hold up nicely. Like the Uzi from series one is still one of my favorite weapons. The detail and everything about it, I just love. But we couldn't continue just to release those same type items. So we started working into, okay, items with removable clips. Okay, that's items with removable silencers. Well, let's take this a step further. Let's do entire modular items where you can mix and match scopes and grips and underslung attachments. Okay, well, that's good. So this next series, we say, well, let's do that whole modular feature. Let's roll that out with some of the larger heavy weapons like the M240 Bravo. Oh, that's a good idea. Well, let's also make that huge sniper rifle, M200 type thing, but let's make it the silencer removable. And also, oh, that huge scope is removable. Things that you want that adds the extra detail to it, but also the features. So each time we have to keep pushing that level of detail to the satisfy our supporters, but also too that we don't ever want them to look at something, get something and say, Same old, same old. You know, I had that chip last time. I had that last time. Try to improve upon what we've done, but also not go too far to the extremes, but just make it so, okay, we've improved upon it. Here's something new. Like some of the items we have for this Kickstarter program are improvements of items released in earlier waves. Is there anything wrong with the original items? No. But what they were at that time, we're very happy with them. Like the AK-74U, wonderful item. Well, the first time released, we didn't do a stock on it. We had this front grip and it had like this wood pattern to it, which was nice. But I said, heck, how about the AK-74 modular with a rail system? And how can we work out to have an actual folding stock? Well, I like to have a folding stock, but do I want a huge hinge where it actually works? Well, yeah, you can probably live with that huge hinge, knowing you have the working feature. Or how about, if you can't get the hinge in scale, make two different stocks that can snap onto the back, one extended and one that would snap on, actually fold to the side. Well, since everyone seems really accepting of our modular feature and they understand the process, they shouldn't have any problem understanding that, okay, get that stock. That would work. And like some of these weapons, we hinted about some of the new improved modular features. Not so much improved, but several weapons have like carrying handles. Like the FNFAL has this carrying handle. And I like how the weapon looks with the carrying handle up. But when the figure is using it in action, or you have it posed, the handle isn't up. It's folded down to the side. I said, well, heck, if we're able to make scopes and grips that snap in and can take off and on, well, how about a FNFAL handle that you can pop in that is in the full extended position, then also via another tab on that same handle, pop it out and set it on the side so it's down in the ready to use position without having to make two weapons. You can have with a carrying handle up or carrying handle pose to the side. Just things that we would have released that in the first or second series. It might have been first, I don't think would have the engineering, you know, the features down to get it to this point, but also it's much more appealing to folks and it's easier accepted because they understand the process behind the modular features.
John, I was always curious, since I found out about your wonderful, wonderful business and have spent many, many dollars on your fine wares, I'm curious as to what goes into engineering these weapons. I mean, where do you start at? Do you like mold these things out like five times the original size and work down without revealing any trade secrets? I don't want you to give away your dinner here. How do you go about putting this together?
Well, it comes down to, like I said, we go through our candidate list first. And once we get it narrowed down, then we see which ones, again, are the most desirable, are the most requested, and which ones are possible to release in a format that's going to appeal to the most people. So like this last series, we did the M240 Bravo. We finally got it to the point where, okay, I can get the ammo case, be able to attach to the side the way I want it, via this particular pin and hole setup, which is improving upon what we did with the first Series 2 set that had that like, similar feature. But, okay, I want this bipod to be able to swivel a little bit because most of the characters that hold it, like I had some gentleman in Afghanistan sent me pictures of him out in the field using that particular weapon, and he didn't use a front grip. He actually held onto one section of the bipod and kind of swiveled it out. So that was the front grip as he's holding on to the grip and the trigger. I thought, oh, that'd be so good. So we made it so that there was some leeway where that front bipod, so you can pose your character in that same kind of position. Things that weren't possible earlier on, but as we're getting more familiar with this, we do it. Now, back to your question, the prototypes are like 1/3 scale. The final item is going to be 2 inches long. The prototype it is 8 to 10 inches long. And to get all that fine detail, then it's sent to another place that it's reduced down, like what they do with coin artwork. They have a huge picture of a coin, and then via mechanical process, they reduce it down to the desired size, and they're able to keep that detail. Mm-hmm. So you exaggerate the detail a little bit on the large item, so it shows up even better on the small item. So that's how what we're using with that process. You're very clear with the engineers and stuff what kind of features you want, what you want to work, what has to fit with what. Getting very exact with your peg dimension size, your pole dimension size for any kind of modular items. If it's a removable clip, you have to state, you have to be very clear how deep you want the clip to go in, what the kind of mounting point. So every little feature is looked at to be sure that it, when all is said and done, after you put up all those considerable costs, because you can only see so much of the reduced prototypes and then the final production. There are always some changes, something slightly different. And hopefully most of the time you're able to live with any slight variations that happen after it comes through the whole production process. But so far, so good. There's only been a couple slight little hiccups. But again, we're ever learning, ever growing. And that's why several items are looking at updating. Again, nothing wrong with the original one, but like our Commando, we wanted a modular version, want to have the folding stock, want to do a lot of things that the original Commando from Series 2, still popular, still a great item, and that'll never go away, but you now have an option of really expanding upon it with new items.
John, let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter campaign. Can you talk a little bit about the funding goal, the stretch goals, and some of the incentives and rewards that are available for those that invest in your project?
Oh, sure. This was an idea brought to me by a friend who runs a gaming company. He goes, MJ, you should look at this, because with my projects, it's everything is paid up front, okay? And that's why we kind of stretch these projects out, because there's no pay at the end or pay along the way. It's, this is what I want, money up front, move on. And if we do this nice, slow, steady process like we've been doing, like I touched on the video for the Kickstarter, each release is a year and a half, 2 years apart. Now, with the Kickstarter program, it would allow us to bring up the next release by, instead of a year and a half to 2 years, to about 8 months away, 7 months away. So this way we could bring more items quicker to our supporters and really cut back that wait time. And with the Kickstarter, we set an initial goal of $17,000, and that's to get the first 10 items prototype, tooled, and delivered to you. Now, we show 10 items on the Kickstarter program. Now, rather than going through and listing the 6 new modular scopes you're going to do and the 4 new grips and the 3 new silencers and just really muddying the waters, we just showed the items and we're letting people know that, yeah, there can be a lot of other features to it too. So it's just like any regular release. It's not just the items. There are a lot of other accessories to it. Like most of the clips on our FO6 and some of the other modern tactical kind of weapons are going to have the little loop at the bottom of the clip, like you see in a lot of the modern warfare games where you remove the clip, it has that little thumb hole at the very bottom of it, which I think would be a really nice feature, but we haven't done that before. But that's something that's going to be on these new items. So with the Kickstarter, we're saying, here are all the items, and if we hit our $17,000 goal, and if you contribute at what we'll call the Pirate Horde level, you get the 15 new items in black. You get the 15 new items in realistic paint scheme. I've seen some of the first tests of the mechanical process to paint them, and it's just phenomenal. You'll get the 15 items in a Kickstarter exclusive. We're only going to make these two, the number ordered, in a desert tan paint scheme. And we're going to do a mayhem level. So it's like an army builder level. There are 5 items, 6 of each. And it's the most popular troop builder kind of weapons. A lot of people, again, back to my army building roots, people like to army build. So I like to help them army build. So here's a nice set that you can army build on. And then we did a special baby blue test shot set that stemmed from last Series 6. I had one set done on this baby blue. It really helps you see the detail. You're able to see if there's any little flaws or imperfections you want fixed. And the detail and the features on the weapons just jump off in this light blue color. So a good friend, after I saw them, and I made my changes, what I wanted, I sent them off to him, a person who's helped out and supported and been a real good friend. And I said, there you go, you can have them. And then he sent me an email a few weeks later, said, hey, you mind if I sell some of these? I said, hey, they're yours. You can do with them what you want. And a couple of them he sold for a couple $100 each. These little one-of-a-kind blue test shots. So I said, hey, thank you. Next time we're together, you can take me to lunch. But if there are people out there who want these and they really like the detail, and knowing that it's a very limited type item, that's why I did the baby blue test shot version. So again, that's only going to be made to the number of Kickstarter orders. So if we hit the goal and only a couple hundred people participate, there's only 200 of those items are going to be made. Same thing with the tan desert camel. You'll never be able to get those again from us. So that's another way of us saying thank you to people that participate with the first time we've ever gone after a real exclusive limited edition kind of thing. That's, again, just for these folks. So if someone does the $100 level, they're getting close to $140 worth of stuff at regular retail. If we did sell it in retail with 2 of the items, we will never sell at retail. So that's what happens with the first goal. Now we put those stretch goals in there. If we hit the stretch goals, each person who contributes at the Pirate Horde level or the Double Horde level, I went with this whole pirate theme to stick with the map with the knife and keep it kind of fun. They get items just added to their package for no additional cost. So if we were to hit all these stretch goals, which would be phenomenal and God is good, but there'd be an additional $250 worth of stuff added to that person's $100 contribution, which is already $140 value worth of stuff. So we wanted to make this a way that whoever participates and contributes to this project, they get as much bang for their buck as possible. Because with each stretch level, we get more people in. It's more people who get the items and get more additional items, again, with no additional cost to them. So that's what appealed to us about doing this Kickstarter program is, yeah, we get the items quicker, the items you request, and also the people who do support it are able to get a lot of stuff. So it just seemed like a win-win for everybody.
What thus far has been the most difficult piece that you've designed but ended up coming out really nice?
One of the nicest surprises was early on in Series 3. We did a modified Sterling machine gun, which is very similar to like a Stormtrooper type blaster. And I looked at the weapon and it had the nice scope and it had that very distinctive stock that went underneath the front of the weapon. I said, rather than just having that tooled in place, I said, I wonder if there's a way to make that stock actually work. let's just try. I didn't think it was going to work. I thought I'd have to go back and just have it molded in one big piece. But when that stock came out fitting perfectly, functioning perfectly, and looking so good, it's like the light just suddenly came through the window when you hear that, ooh, that noise. It just opened up my eyes to what are possibilities. And, well, okay, if this can happen, then that's when I started thinking about, well, how about a modular M4? Because there were three other M4s I wanted to come out with, one with several other features and different scopes. And I said, well, in Series 4, do I really want to have four different M4s? I said, well, if they get the stock to work from Series 3, why can't I work up some kind of modular pin and hole? Like just pretend to be a rail system for these items. Let's give it a go. And so each little success is built upon, well, let me just push the envelope, like Chuck Yeager. I got to push the envelope a little bit each time. Just a little bit each time. Just a little bit each time. And after the success of this Stirling, I said, I think I can push this even further. So that's where I really jumped out with the Series 4. I said, well, let's do this modular thing. And while we're at it, how about instead of just a Gatling gun, how about a Gatling gun that's in pieces so you're able to assemble and get all that intense detail that you could rather than having one big chunk? And also, it goes back to making items that are appeal to customizers and people like to paint and modify their weapons. So that's where the ABS plastic, so they hold paint and they hold glue. And with the Gatling, it's like eight pieces, but you can just mix and match and snap what you want with it. So there are certain weapons from each series that always tend to lead into an offshoot in the next series. If I did this, well, I can really push this now. Oh, I didn't think about this other level. Let me try this. Because like with Series 2, yeah, we had some removable ammo clips. But once I saw the functionality, that stock on that Stirling, I said, let's try to push it to Series 4. And then Series 5, how about a MGL, multi-shot grenade launcher? Let's try these other items. Like with this last series, I mean, if you look at that, like that M200 sniper rifle, it's just a really attractive sculpt and tool and weapon. And then the nice thing about that big silencer, we made sure it was modular. So that big silencer, you want to put that on another weapon, you can. You put that on the AKM or the FOS or the vector-type weapon. And the scope can be worked with the other weapons. So we made sure that the pin and hole is consistent through most of it. So to answer your question, it was the Stirling that just let me know that you could try to do more things. We're also looking at action figure stands. The nice thing about them is we're the two-size flip peg, so you can do the modern era figures and also the vintage figures. And they also work with like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures and a bunch of the Marvel Legends. We get a lot of requests from people to say, hey, they work with these figures. Say, thank you. So that's how we're getting a better understanding of those. But the nice thing about it is you can also do this 3D displays. I had to take it down because I accidentally knocked it over because I was getting the stuff ready for the convention. But like you're talking about this huge Steel Brigade platform. I had set up. It was like five levels. On the front, you had 15 guys across, four deep, and then raised up on two tiers up were another layer, and then behind that, another layer. So there wasn't any glue or tape involved. It was just snapping the stands together. So that's one thing I like about it, too, is you just have to stay at that all the same level with the stand. Also, we're looking at extension stands that you can plug onto the top of the stand. So you want to show a character jumping in the air. So you have like this clear stand that will snap onto the IDS stand that can plug into the person's foot or the person's back.
Nice.
Yeah. I'd be happy to beta test those for you, John.
That sounds awesome.
It's a stand. If you do a little platform of 4x4, that's a nice, solid, sturdy base. And then you have your clear plastic mounting stand that goes on it. And you can have your character in any kind of position and it stays stable and don't worry about it falling over. And we're also looking at the different colors and for the different stands to try to make it some look like flames or some just. But right now, the clear seems to be the best one for a character flying or leaping.
They're great. That's what I've bought the most from you in the last 2 years, I think, of the stands. And more recently, because, well, retaliation figures don't come with stands, folks. So there's your stand source. If you need stands for your retaliation figures, go to John, buy them. They're good. Trust us.
Yeah, I'm about to make a pretty sizable order myself.
What did our bank accounts do to you that you want to break them so bad?
Well, you know, that's the kind of thing. Everything we get, most of the everything we get, we roll into the next series. You know, like I said, it's always a pay up front. So you get it in, you just set it aside, you get ready for the next year, you're ready for the next year. You know, we're always at a state of continual development. We got the first 10 items, reference illustrations, everything. I already have the sculptors working on several of them because I just want to be ready. But if we can roll into like some of those stretch goals, there are a lot of great items in there. One of my favorite weapons is the Clone Marine type pulse rifle from Aliens. And if that one originally was done without a trigger and trigger guard, again, because of the vintage figures and the thumbs, but now we can look at trigger and trigger guard, but also how about having that modular with different mounting points on the top hand that you put different scopes on and having it so it could actually accommodate different silencers and then also look at having a removable clip. The possibilities are there, but again, it's just an improvement upon the existing one. So you're always looking ahead. So like with these stretch goals, you know, the samurai sword and the short sword would actually come with a scabbard that's it's removable. And like the 30 caliber machine gun with working tripod and an ammo belt and the box of ammunition, I think that would just be tremendous. The RPG removable rockets, again, all these items highly requested. And we're just trying to find a way that how can we get these to the folks now? We've received a tremendous amount of support. I mean, again, we've been around 7 years. We're still here. Thanks to you guys. We have 1,200, 1,300 people who've liked us on Facebook, which is wonderful. So we thought, well, if we can get them to participate in this, because most of them will want the new series when it comes out. So they just do the $15 for the new series. That's with free shipping for here in the States and Canada, which is pretty much like our $12.99 with $1.45 shipping now. Mm-hmm. So we can make it. We try to think of the Kickstarter as just a big pre-order. We get a lot of requests. Hey, could you pre-order? Could you set this up? Well, it always got very manual and complicated. We couldn't do it, find a smooth way to do it. When we looked at the Kickstarter, this is a very organized and laid out very concisely. So we said, let's do our pre-order that way with a huge upside. If we hit our target goal, great. We come up with our 10 items. Oh, also one of the scopes, I think it's called, I want to say reflex sight. I might be making a mistake. On the top of the weapon, there'll be two scopes, okay? One is like a red dot short scope, and the other one is a telescopic scope. But there's a feature where you can slide that scope off to the side, where it just kind of tilts off. So that hinge would be kind of difficult to do in 1/18 scale. But again, just like we're thinking of the handle, having two mounting pins on it. On that scope, we could have two mounting pins. So one pin you hook on it, it looks like it's tilted off to the side, ready to be flipped up. And the other one, just flip it up and mount it. It's in that ready to fire position. You know, so a lot of things like that, we're saying, okay, look at these modular accessories. How can we improve upon it and enhance the user experience? I know I like to customize. I like to make different things and what will look good with this. Well, how can I move this around? So that's what I would do. So when you're looking at these different accessories, that's what we try to keep in mind. So like I said, it's just not the 10 items or the additional clips, the different clips, or the thumb pulls, or the different modular accessories, silencer scopes, all that.
Interesting. What is the most popular model of gun that you have sold to the masses here?
It would have to be, since series one, it would be our AK with woodstock, followed closely by our NVR rifle. And then once it came on the scene, our modular M4 has been the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to this Kickstarter, we want to do a updated AK-47 woodstock, okay? With all the detail and features we have, like the series six items, but finally update that original AK. The original AK will still be around. It's still useful, still very popular, but I'd like to have one with a trigger guard and also working to have the fire select be in the full auto switch rather than always in the safe. We got a lot of requests that, you know, every AK you've released at this point, fire select is always in the safe position. They said, we'd like to have a fire select in the full auto. I said, we can do that. So I'd like to have a AK-47 woodstock with a fire selection switch in the full auto and then get one of the painted versions of the great wood grain painted version to the wood accessories. I think it'd be very sharp.
You know, speaking of the Kickstarter, as I was just kind of scrolling down the page when you were talking about some of the different levels, I'm actually rather impressed at this point, the amount of generosity that the community has given to you. Almost half of your contributors have contributed $100 or more.
Yes, we are so appreciative and just bowled over because we're doing the research on the Kickstarter. What we found is that during your initial release, you might hit in the first week, maybe 10% of your goal. And then it goes very slow, very constant. And then the final 4 or 5 days of your goal is when most people hit it. After 7 days, we're at 34% of our goal, which is just fantastic. We still have 22 days left. So we're quietly optimistic that we could hit our goal because we really want to pull the trigger on these items and get them underway so we can have them ready for everyone by this May. But again, I mean, just if you look at the folks who are stepping up and doing that pirate horde level because they realize there's a lot of great items, a lot of, like I said, you know, Kickstarter exclusives, because we always wanted to be able to release some exclusives for our supporters, but we didn't really know of a way to do it and make it equal to all. Because you don't want to say, okay, we're going to make 100 this particular item, first come, first serve. No, we've never been that way. Or make 100 particular items and it's only available at the next convention. Then only the people who attend the convention should get them. Whereas this case, if you do want a limited edition exclusive, whether there's a secondary market price for it or not, or just for your own sake, there's only 150 or 200 of this made and I have a set of them. We said, this is the way we can do it. So it's an opportunity. If you want it, it's there. If you don't, no worries.
This is kind of a touchy subject to me personally. I don't know if you get complaints or comments one way or another about it, but the whole trigger guard thing, I know you like making the weapons as kind of accurate as possible, but a lot of the figures don't come with a separate trigger finger. So when guns that have trigger guards on them, it can be very tough to kind of have the figures hold realistically. Is there an aesthetic reason why some weapons have them and some weapons don't?
Well, we started off back in 2005. All we had were the vintage figures.
Right.
The hard hands with those thumbs. So we wanted to be sure that our items weren't responsible for any missing thumbs. So that's why we removed the trigger and trigger guards and kept the handles very slender.
Yep.
But as the figures got more detailed and they started releasing more and more of them, we went with putting the trigger and trigger guards back in for two reasons, that most of the hands could hold them, but also we were getting a lot of requests for the aesthetics of it because they said, when I show it, I don't like the look of it because of the trigger guard. So it was a combination of the hands now being a little more rubbery and people liking the looks of the gun. They set up the guns for arsenals or displays and having them sit on the counter next to the guy. They like having the look of the trigger guards. We started making trigger guards on all pistols, starting with Series 3. But then after Series 5, we said, okay, every item, if it has a trigger guard, it can happen now. Just recently, a lot of the figures were coming out with like a separate kind of trigger finger, which was nice for a while. And now I guess they're back molding it in place. It's a tightrope we got to walk. Yep. We said, well, let's just put them all trigger and trigger guards. And if people don't want them, they can just snip them off.
Yep, that's true.
It's easier to take it off than to add it on.
That is a good point, a very good point. And it's not like you're alone. I mean, Hasbro does it too. And so it's just kind of my own personal thing. Because I do a lot, or I used to. I haven't done it so much anymore, but I used to do a lot of diorama shots. And when you're doing a character firing a weapon and the finger is clearly not touching the trigger, that's just an aesthetic thing. But like you said, it's easy enough to just snip them off. So that's it's a good point.
But also, I mean, I don't know if you should mention us. I mean, we're not worthy of mentioning the same breath as the Big H. I mean, we're just a small little customizer.
Oh, sure.
Just trying to find a little niche and help fellow collectors. And we have no delusions of grandeur or anything like that. We're just collectors, like things for our troops. And also, it just so happens that other people feel the same way.
There you go.
John, have you ever thought about getting into other types of accessories, backpacks, helmets?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that. That's another reason for the Kickstarters. We had this rubber series we've been having to put on the back burner because there are so many weapons and weapon accessories people want now. And we already have that process fine-tuned. We know how to get the prototypes, how to get the items, how to get the weapons released. But this rubber series that we want to do, it's going to have headgear, belts, holster, sheath, every kind of rubber thing you could put on a figure that can't be a rigid plastic. That's what this is. Now, it's a whole new process, a whole new prototype process, production, tooling, all that. But that's what we want to get to. So if this Kickstarter is successful, we can satisfy the majority of your requests and then roll full force into the new rubber series. So that's what another big, I'm glad you brought that up, another big reason for us hoping this Kickstarter is successful so we can satisfy a lot of the requests that are in the pipeline, people are asking for a long time, and then actually get into the rubber series. Different helmets, boonie caps, looking at the Y harnesses with the camel canteen on back, belts with interchangeable ammunition mags and holsters. We don't want to have huge oversized buckles on the stuff. We want the buckles to be either be hidden or have them be actually close to in scale and work. So that's the next big thing we have on the agenda. Again, once we can get these next batch of weapons out, then we can roll into those.
That's an answer that put a little tear in the corner of my eye.
You should see some of the helmet photos I've seen come back of the sculptors in their spare time. I said, hey, could you do this, this, and this? They said, sure. Oh, it's incredible.
You're thinking you got something that's just totally groundbreaking. Like, yeah, we were thinking about that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And they work on it. So with like the helmets don't necessarily have to be rigid plastic. You can do have the rubber series that could work. And then you'd have like different little inserts that you could put in there. So you could adjust a different size head. So you make one that's the regular size is just the standard size. And then for the smaller heads, there'd be like, think of it like a little cap that would go on the head that would go inside the helmet that would fit on that thing. And also having them made out of rubber as opposed to the rigid metal, you could have the chin strap and all those other things work too. Because it has give and it could reach around their chins and stuff. And then you can have different mounted things on the front of the helmet. I mean, the sketches I have and the things that I have in the works are just tremendous. But again, it's just small company, limited resources. You only do so much of this on your plate. So hopefully, like I said, this Kickstarter works, you're going to roll into these other things. But it's also working on this other process where we can do larger, like diorama type accessories. There isn't a huge demand for thousands and thousands of vehicle mounts for M240 Bravo or for if you're able to make the 50 cal in this next. The 50 cal is just amazing. Everyone would like the 50 cal vehicle mount. Have it be a universal type mount that would go just about any vehicle you want. But here's the realistic looking cradle and bed that could fit the 50 cal M240 or vehicle things. Yes, we're working on this Kickstarter items, but we're doing the preliminary work on a bunch of other projects that we hope that we'll see the light of day.
So again, to beat the message home to the fans listening, support the Marauder John Kickstarter and we'll see cool stuff.
Since day one, we've been appreciative and supportive and just honored that fellow collectors find our items worthy to play with their figures. Like I said before, I was a stickler, a purist. It had to be the item that came with the figure, unless it looked cool or unless I thought in my universe, in my mind that I would have of my collection of my figures, it could fit in with a storyline. Well, we're thankful that you guys let us fit in with your storyline. So like I said, the Kickstarter works out. We get the support. We thank you guys. It's wonderful. We're staying optimistic that we can get there. But whether the Kickstarter happens or not, I mean, we'll still do the stuff, but Kickstarter is a way for us to get you what you want that much quicker.
Real quick, go around the horn here. Chuck, Mike, what is your favorite Marauder John item?
Oh, God.
You got to narrow it down to one, I know.
I would have to say the Walther P90 with stock and silencer and scope.
The P38?
Yeah, P38.
Yeah.
Good choice. Mike?
Wow. I don't know, because much like you described at the beginning of the show, John, I'm kind of an army builder by disease, too.
Yeah, it's addicting. It's an illness.
I was the guy when all those 25th Vipers showed up at Target at clearance at 47 cents. I hated that figure, but I had to buy them anyway. That's what I'm dealing with here.
Wow, that's massive OCD right there.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're going to sell me an army builder for 47 cents, I have to buy it.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if it's any good or not. It doesn't matter. It's 47 cents. What else am I going to do with that 47 cents?
Buy Marauder John stuff?
Well, I mean, yeah, but... You know, and yeah, which I did too. John saw me at the con. I spent a lot of time at John's table at the con.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We enjoy the convention. You know, it's a lot of work to get prepared for it and to set up and man the booth and stuff, but we enjoy it. That's the time we're able to be with our simpaticos.
Yeah, I tell you, I love the fancy stuff. I've bought just tons of what I like to call the army builder weapons. I bought lots of M4s. I bought lots of AKs. I bought lots of Uzis because I just love outfitting my forces with those. The more intricate stuff, I like to put them with specific characters, like what was the most recent series? It was the kind of heavy type machine gun that had just all kinds of modular stuff attached to it.
Yeah, the M240 could do that, and also do that with the FOS and the AKM, and yeah.
Yes.
Well, like with this last AKM, even having the PEQ sight that you could put by the front of the barrel, it's got such a nice look to it, and we're really trying to expand upon that with the next releases. But of all the items we've come out with, my favorite is still the Series 1 Uzi. Once I saw that one, I said, I think this might work, because it just was such a cool gun, so detailed. And even now, I mean, right here on my desk, I'm looking at it. There's a Firefly holding it. It's still my favorite.
Was that the moment when you realized you could do this for a living?
The moment I realized, I said, you know, there might be something to this. Now, sometimes it's that crazy guy with the idea. I think if you put carbonated water in with this cola flavored stuff, someone might want to drink it. You know, I thought.
No. Someone put peanut butter with my chocolate.
Exactly.
I think Gary and I had that moment a couple years ago when we were sitting at CoilCon 2, and we were approached by the guys who had driven in from Utah.
Wow.
And I know I kind of looked at Gary, and Gary kind of looked at me when these guys said that, and we're just, you know, we should probably do one of these every year.
Yeah. Just, you know, because you look at it, you go, I think this might work. And like I said, thank God you guys accepted it, and you brought it in now. 7 years later, we're talking about, we just released our 6th series, and we're looking at the next thing, and we're talking about rubber series and diorama accessories, and it's all because of you guys. That you accept it, and you like it, and that you want us to do more, we're just so pleased and proud of that fact.
And when we're talking about rubber series, we're not talking about anything that includes noted author James Cavanaugh.
Not yet, anyway.
But for my take on my favorite weapon, I gotta agree with Chuck. I think the P38 is my most favorite item that I've received from you. I love the M4. The P38, because of what it is, it's Megatron. And I'm not a big Transformer fan, but it's awesome seeing him in Cobra Commander's hand. And to be honest with you, John, I know you're not going to take any credit for it. You don't like to pat yourself on the back. You're an extremely modest man. But I think this had everything to do with what we got at Comic-Con a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that you made this available is the reason why Hasbro went ahead and did it. And for that matter, don't want to get you in trouble with Hasbro. Hasbro's smart people. They probably saw a good thing and said, yeah, that would look really good in Cobra Commander's hand as well.
No, you can't give me credit for that. There's a lot of talented, a lot of fantastic people that plays doing this stuff. I'm just a little guy who listens to what you guys want. Because that came from a suggestion. After we did the first series, I just talked to a couple people in that first series. And then with the second one, we posted on all the different Joe boards. And what do you guys want? And it was a huge list. And we said, okay, well, the top ones. And one of the first one was a modified P38 type pistol.
The one thing that I would like to see you do in the future, and this might be way on down the road, and you and I have talked through PMs before about one of my favorite TV shows that I've talked about a number of times here is Sons of Guns. I don't know if you saw the episode where they converted an M1919 Browning machine gun to a shoulder-fired machine gun. That looked awesome. Not only did the machine gun look awesome, the guy that was firing it looked every bit the role of Roadblock from the comic book. So,
but wasn't that based on like a one used in the Pacific in World War II?
They kind of made it look like a Saw a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
This huge monster muscle of a policeman, because they were doing it for a contest, and the contest stated that it had to be shoulder fired, and he comes in with his Browning machine gun and says, "Make this thing shoulder fired for me." And it did, and it looked like just a Saw on steroids. That's what it looked like.
Oh, that sounds cool.
I would love to see you do that, but I know we've talked about it before. I know you've watched Sons of Guns, and you've taken a little inspiration from them as well, haven't you?
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
We had one of our sculptors made some custom silenced AKs, internal AKs, which looked just phenomenal. These guys are so talented. They took like 4 or 5 of our current items and just cut and drilled and did a internal silenced AK. It looked almost exactly like the one on the show. It was phenomenal.
There have been a number of points during tonight's interview where the little tear has formed in my eye. Well, I tell you, John, I know I'm not stepping out of line speaking for the other three guys on the show. Anytime you want us, anytime you want a mouthpiece, say the word.
I agree with Mike. You have a spot anytime on the podcast. Anytime you want to come on, just hang out, be part of the show, have a new product, have an idea that you want to bounce off the listeners, you have a spot here. It has been my thrill and my honor to have you on the show tonight, to talk to you finally. I know for Chuck and myself, who've been on the show the longest, you've always been one of those people that we've had circled on our names list since day one, 90 episodes that we wanted to have you on. And we are so happy that we could have you on tonight. And anytime, anytime in the future, you are welcome to come back.
Hey, thank you very much. It's been a privilege. I enjoyed it, guys.
I encourage everyone to go to Kickstarter.com, search Marauder GR, or just Marauder. I believe that's the only thing that will come up, and you could find out more about the Kickstarter campaign there. Currently, you are at 82 backers at almost $6,000 with 21 days ago.
That's fantastic.
Well, you're at $5,896, so almost at $5,900, actually. But 21 days ago, please, please, folks, you can give as little as a dollar. You can give 15, 18, 23, has different levels. He'll tell you exactly what you're getting for all your levels. There's a video at the very top of the page that you can play that will tell you everything that you heard the project entails. It's probably going to be a lot of what you heard tonight. And then while you're at it, after you're done contributing, go to his webpage, which is marauderinc.com, and order some guns. And like you said, and like we've said before, you can order a ton of stuff for your soldiers, and shipping is dirt cheap. Do it, do it.
It's $1.45, no matter where you live or how large the order is, all we charge. And also, if you go to the website, we have a link right there on the front page of the website that'll take you to the Kickstarter project too.
Fantastic. And when you do talk to them or you do send them a message, make sure if you heard them on the podcast, to let them know that you heard them on the podcast. I'm sure he'd like to know the number of people that listen to the podcast.
Yeah, also mention you heard about it on the podcast, so throw an additional bonus item on the initial up and in the order. You got it.
There you go, folks. Wow. And a freebie for listening to What's on Joe Mind.
The What's on Joe Mind discount.
Well, another freebie.
Exactly. So you mentioned it from the Joe board, you get a freebie. Then you mentioned you heard from the podcast. That's an additional freebie.
Two items, folks. Two.
Well, no, I just meant that you people are getting an additional freebie from the show. The first freebie is getting to listen to me. The second freebie is the extra weapon from Father John.
And with that, we thank John for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you. Hey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your support and all your praise.
It's been all our pleasure as well.
Anytime, John.
Hey, Mike, what time is it?
I think it's intermission time, which means it's Mambo time!
We'll be back after the break.
This is the part of the show where we mumble.
This portion of What's on Joe Mind is brought to you by Kokomo Toys. Find one of the largest selections of G.I. Joe anywhere in the Midwest, from vintage Joes to the latest straight from Hasbro. They're independently owned and operated. Visit their store in Kokomo, Indiana, or online at KokomoToys.com today. Here's how you can contact the show. Email us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Text or leave us a voicemail at 262-515-9656. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Visit our homepage at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com, where you find links to our social networking profiles and active community forum threads. Got an Apple device? Go to the iTunes store and subscribe to the show. Hear us on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher works on Apple, BlackBerry, WebOS, and Android devices. Download the app for free at Stitcher.com or at your mobile app store. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's On Joe Mind, together, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Find our podcast mirrored every week at InsidePulse.com. Inside Pulse is a pop culture mega site covering movies, music, sports, games, and more. Check out the pulse of pop culture at InsidePulse.com. We're part of the GeekCast Radio Network. GeekCast Radio Network features multiple podcasts featuring Transformers, cartoons, movies, television, general geek topics, and interviews with many famous voice actors from your favorite shows. So go there now and unleash the geek in you and tell them how much you enjoy What's On Joe Mind. And now a few words from our partner podcasts.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, geekcastradio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Are you a fan of gaming? Then check out GCRN's first ever gaming podcast, Extreme Retro Gaming. It's your one-stop shop for emulation, retro, and modern gaming. Hear talk on your favorite games from classic consoles of the current day. The show will feature one-shots on a single game every single episode. So stay tuned in for Extreme Retro Gaming, only on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Welcome back. The second half of What's On Joe Mind is brought to you by JoeArmory.com. Joe Armory is a proud sponsor of What's On Joe Mind. Stop on by JoeArmory.com to experience the internet's largest inventory for all things G.I. Joe, from 12-inch to 3 3/4 and everything in between. Joe Armory is your source. And we're back, and we are joined by two others. One is a familiar voice, one you probably have heard on another podcast, but the familiar voice is noted author James Cavanaugh. James, how are you?
Swell and dandy, how are you?
James is doing an awesome job of standing on deck all night in a pinch-hitting role, getting ready to jump in the event that Justin had to leave.
Our show smells better already.
It smells better already, and we're one episode away from 69, so it's pretty comfortable for James.
Absolutely. Just there's something about that number that has me all at attention.
Also joining us from Toy World Order, Dave Draper. Dave, how are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's fantastic to have you. What we're going to do here before we jump into the mailbag is get a chance to know a little bit more about Dave and his podcast. Go once around the horn with the guys that have any questions, give them like a little mini interview. Find out more about Toy World Order and let our listeners know more about it, because it sounds like something that they might want to listen to, especially when they talk about Joe content.
So with a podcast named Toy World Order, I assume you're a big wrestling fan.
The website is toyworldorder.com. Our podcast is called Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. Actually, I think, yeah, Jason is a huge wrestling fan. Not so much. I used to watch it. Well, I used to be into it in the 80s, and then I got into it a little bit in the 90s, but I'm not that huge a fan. I mean, I recognize names. I got out of it when Triple H was, like, champion for, like, a year, and I'm like, he's a blonde guy who's a jerk. Okay. Wow, this is fascinating stuff, this blonde guy who's a jackass. It was a little bit of a letdown.
There's nothing wrong with blonde jerks.
Now James isn't so much of an anything in hair color.
pretty much. Yeah. Clear as a color.
He's smooth.
Yeah. sort of.
I'm not going to say all over, but smooth.
I think James, you know more than most.
Woo!
Again, Dave, if you have any inkling to make fun of James for these reasons, by all means, take him.
Fair enough. I'm the new kid, so I'm just like feeling the thing out.
Ooh.
Seeing who the victim is, who the lions are going after.
Well, I mean, in most circumstances, that's Chuck. But yeah. In terms of you know, you have any good PG-13 type stuff, that's usually where we get James.
Yeah. Well, my problem is, like, I really honestly, and I mean, I hate to sort of suck up, but James's book on the, like, post-vintage era Joes, I used to be on another website, and I did a show specifically about G.I. Joes. It was called Disorder of Battle. And the one area that I never really knew much about, because I'd been in college and I hadn't really started collecting yet, was that era. And I was always, like, making mistakes, and I would say, you know, there were X number of figures, and someone would go, well, in 1990 blah, there was this figure from the new sculpt era. And that whole era would always trip me up, and I hated it. And I was at Kane County Toy Show, and they were selling your book. And so, like, I literally do love that book. That book is so vital because it's like all the stuff that I missed and didn't know about and would always get me in trouble. So it's hard for me to pick on you. So
no, it's fine. No, I really appreciate that.
As James will say, flattery will get you everywhere.
Absolutely. And I didn't mean to steal the show, folks. We're here to talk.
Well, it is your turn to ask a question.
In terms of the podcast and the Toy World Order, what areas do you prefer to focus on?
Well, I am a G.I. Joe guy. I collect like Star Wars and G.I. Joe and pretty much anything like the 4-inch scale. I do have a lot of superhero stuff from like 6-inch scale, but I love Marvel Universe. Like a lot of weird random stuff kind of from the 80s. I mean, it just, after Star Wars and G.I. Joe, it almost just depends. I love dinosaurs, so I have a lot of Jurassic Park stuff. I'm trying to finish off, I have an almost complete Dungeons & Dragons collection. I found out like a couple months ago they did Shadowrun figures, so like overnight I had all those. My thing is, if there's a problem, I throw money at it.
You know, I have that problem too, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so you're on lockdown.
Like on Dave and Duvall's, like Duvall has the different approach of, if you wait, you'll see it again. I'm like, no, I won't. I'm just going to spend the money now. And he's like, no, I'm going to wait and buy it incomplete and missing an arm. And I'll get those parts someday. I'm like, no.
You follow the rule that I do, and that is never hesitate when it comes to
exactly
buying Joes, because there's a handful of Joes I can count on my hand, actually, that have come out since the 25th started that I saw them once,
mm-hmm.
and I never saw them again.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would have thought at that time going, nah,
yeah,
I'd rather have lunch this week, I'm not going to buy it. Nah, no, I'll
eat ramen.
Yeah.
I'm a big guy. I can go a day or two without food.
Exactly.
Brown baggers unite.
Right, yeah. There you go. Give me some caffeine drink. I'm good to go.
There you go.
So, yeah, never hesitate. And there's certain things that you just never hesitate on. Exactly. And that's normally the later wave stuff. Have you ever seen that in the store?
Oh, like for some reason with the Avengers, wave 4 hit in force. And I described it like the mood in Pawtucket must be like a NASA launch where everybody's high-fiving and like back-slapping because it's like, we got to wave 4. It's like, woohoo! They're actually in the stores. You don't have to go to like Ross or TJ Maxx a year from now to get them. So
it's like Pursuit of Cobra Wave 6 or 30th Wave 4 that some people just never saw again. And they're like, well, I thought I would come back. Well, No.
There is a pecking order. There's rent, electric.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Food. Sometimes basic food.
I would think it'd be rent and gas so you can go to work at least and have a place to sleep.
Yeah. Rent and gas are kind of there. And then after that, just spend the $7. Spend the $10. It's just worth it to do it right then.
Pretty much. I totally agree. Like I learned a long time ago, because like I said, I'm into Star Wars. There was an early wave of Power of the Force 2 with Reese and the Death Star Trooper. And I went into Walmart once and they had like this, back when they had like toy aisles, they had this entire aisle full of them. And I was like, oh, I'll maybe get like a couple extra ones when I come back. Never, ever saw them in any other store. Never saw them there again.
Yeah.
I'll tell anybody this that prefers to play the waiting game. You know, you'll hit some winners. You know, you'll find some stuff on clearance and hit it for $2, $3, $4. But at the same time, you have to be prepared to pay that higher price for the times you don't pull the trigger. And that's just the name of the game.
Yep.
I had to reshuffle some funds around, but I'm glad that the one time I saw Renegade Storm Shadow in the wild.
That's one of the ones you don't hesitate
on. Guy again. It's
you know,
go time.
And, I got and lucky so. On that because I didn't even know. I saw it, and I just didn't like the design. I love Renegades, but I didn't like the nose poking out design. And then all of a sudden, it was like, Storm Shadow is the rarest figure. He's the hardest to find. I'm like, oh, okay. And I walked into Toys R Us one day, and they had pulled a case out of the back. And I'm like, okay, yoink.
For everybody scoring at home, Dave and I came across one another when we were participating in that grandest of convention traditions, standing in line.
Something I didn't have to do.
No, because Gary is, of course, elitist scum.
Rub it in.
But Dave and his friend Sean were right in front of me and the carded heroes, Jay Hunger, for about 3 hours. And we all kind of powwow at various times. And turns out Dave says, wait, you're on What's on Joe Mind? And I'm like, wait, you're on a podcast too? And so we've been trying to have you, trying to figure out a place to squeeze you in here for a couple of months now. So I'm glad you're able to join us.
It was either Dave or Ben Vereen. And we opted for Dave.
Yeah.
Wow. The wrong call.
Only three of us are going to get that joke from the opening segment. But
at the beginning, at the top of the show, Chuck and his family were debating whether or not Ben Vereen was still alive. So,
wow, you know, I honestly don't know.
And Robert Kiln.
Yeah, I have to admit, Chuck, I'll be honest with you. My mic cut out before I could even answer you on that one. But I knew Robert Guillaume was still with us. I thought Ben Vereen had gone off to that great tap dancing stage in the sky.
Now, if we were talking Robert Goulet, now we're talking.
Goulet!
Gotta dig up some Robert Goulet music for this now.
Oh.
Last week was Gundam Style. This week is Robert Goulet.
Goulet.
How's the podcast doing? How's the audience? And where can our audience find it, too?
It's at www.toyworldorder.com. We upload. Technically, it's supposed to be every Thursday, but we usually get it up Wednesday nights. And it's Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Better than I, yes.
The technical stuff, that's Duvall's thing. I show up and I talk about toys with my best friend, and it's the best gig you can ask for. So
on to the mailbag.
And yes, of course, our mailbag is brought to us by All the Cool Stuff, who also sponsor Rollout Roll Call, the finest conglomeration of Transformer and G.I. Joe conventioneers as gathered across the pond.
And Action Force.
Well, you know, G.I. Joe.
Bazinga.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just got myself taken off the guest list.
There's a nasty email and text from Dave Tree. Way to go.
Dave Tree is
demoted podcaster Mike Irizarry.
Disgraced former guest.
First letter from Eben. This is concerning Marauder John. This is actually a bit of an older letter. This is just kind of proof that we read everything that we get. On his tank, there was a post from him saying he, Marauder John, hopes to be there. This is talking about Jokon. Can he sell there? I hope he can. I want to buy a bunch of stuff from him. But I thought third party was not allowed, or is that only for Transformers people? Transformers people.
Those people. The number two best toy line.
Right, number two.
I'd put it at three, but okay.
I already bought off his website a bunch of AK-47s for my Joe Con October Guard figures. Very good. I would do the same. I would love to buy the new Wave 6 at Con. That is, if that is going, and he's going to be allowed to sell. Long story short, Eben, if you were there, and I believe you were, yeah, he was there. He typically does go to at least Joe Con. I've seen him appear at a couple different shows. Also, he is a very generous contributor to the community. Typically, you will also find a lot of his wares in convention sets themselves, such as the Canadian Jokon has put his stuff in their sets, NJCC has put his stuff in their sets, and the good people at CoilCon have put Marauder John stuff in their sets.
Looking to the future. CoilCon.
So even if he's not appearing at your show and selling, he probably maybe has something in the exclusive package. You never know. But Marauder John, he's everywhere. And if he's not, go to his website and buy something.
His marauding fingerprints are all over everything, including noted author James Cavanaugh.
Only if I'm lucky.
This letter comes to us from Geekcast Radio Network boss man Steve Megatron Phillips. He addressed it to me, but really, we'll just say, hey, guys, instead of hey, Gary. Here's my response. Sorry if it's half-cocked and mixed up in places, but thoughts went wild while listening. It's funny he said cocked.
I don't know anything about half cock.
Because that's, you're always full. Never mind. And this, I believe he's talking about the movie. Well, on one of the comments about Paramount and Hasbro, Hasbro has no say in Avengers. That is a Disney Marvel production with Paramount. So trying to align G.I. Joe with Avengers is a folly at best. As far as Battleship, that is irrelevant. Battleship is a Hasbro production with Paramount, much like Transformers, but failed due to just being bad. Using that as a crutch for G.I. Joe is, again, bad. I see moving the film only for the fact that Marvel Avengers, Sony Spider-Man, WB's Dark Knight Rises, and Hunger Games would crush it. What makes me mad is they push Star Trek to 2013 for G.I. Joe and move that too to 2013. Both are Paramount productions. Hasbro does have a track record of screwing G.I. Joe and their fans. Really? Think about it this way. Not one iteration of G.I. Joe has done well since the Sunbow Deke series. Renegades had possibilities and got canned for the film, which is stupid. Hasbro did that with Transformers 2, with Transformer Animated for Transformers Dark Side of the Moon, so it's going to hurt the franchise again. In terms of the 3D aspect, I think this will be detrimental to the franchise. Yeah, they will make money with 3D, but that's not due to total tickets sold. It's forcing people to spend the extra money by making all showings in 3D for most areas. I will not watch a film in 3D unless it's free. 3D doesn't make the film, which is true. If it's a good movie, and it has it, great, but that's not going to make the film good. I was super pumped for the film with the 2013 release that was going to wane my interest. Star Trek is my film of next year with Iron Man 3, so those alone are going to hurt it, but I will not pay to see the movie in 3D. I'd rather wait for the DVD like I did for the first movie, which didn't nearly capture Joe as well as this upcoming one does. It's true. Now, mind you, I still want to see this movie, but I think they are just shooting themselves in the foot. I know with The Dark Knight Rises, no one refused to do 3D, and I think that's great. IMAX, I'm all for, but if a director wants to bad enough, they can speak up. That's my long-winded email. I'm sure I will have a new one soon. Steve Megatron Phillips, website designer, podcaster, voice actor, blogger, and GCRN co-boss. This is pretty good time to start talking about the movie, because the last couple of episodes we've actually brought up some movie aspects, and now we're starting to see some traction on the movie starting to start up. Anything here, any comments here, Mike, that you want to double tap on?
Again, whether the reshoots and adding 3D is going to make the movie better or not, we can't say. I can't say, anyway. It's going to be that way, so, and I'm not going to know how it looked before. I can't judge that, necessarily. As far as pushing it back, again, as we said, even back on the original program where we reviewed A Fandom in Crisis.
Their world in crisis.
It probably was the best thing for the movie. There was just all kinds of traps out there in the minefield for G.I. Joe to get blown apart by. I mean, it would have opened the same weekend as Ted, and all Ted wound up being was the 8th highest grossing movie last year. I mean, Ted. So moving it back, probably the best thing that would have happened for the movie itself in terms of just visibility.
Well, that's because you were the voice actor for Ted.
You'd think.
I thought he was the inspiration for the movie.
Bazinga.
Well, from the standpoint that I get high with stuffed animals, yeah.
I thought it was because you were soft and cuddly.
Well, there's that, too. We'll leave that for another day. When we go to the video podcast, everybody will know that for sure. But there isn't too much to say about it. I guess we'll have more definitive statements about the movie when the movie actually gets out there. We're waiting, like everybody else, another 177 days minus. So
Palicki said that she didn't refilm any new scenes. According to Tatum, he didn't do any.
Really? Because, like, that was the big conspiracy theory that I kept hearing was Magic Mike made money, so they're going to, like, completely redo the movie so Duke lives, and it's all Channing Tatum.
The last quote we got from him, which I believe was the MTV Movie Awards?
I think so.
He said that he was not brought back for anything, unless he's keeping his cards close to the vest.
It could be. He could be under orders to just not spread any information. That sort of thing happens all the time when you've got a project that maybe the PR machine is going to churn out some G.I. Joe again, probably before we know it. But at the same time, you know that they were trying to keep a low profile for it for a while. So I'm sure that questions were thrown his way. But speaking of which, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody could have expected Channing from the time of the first G.I. Joe movie to turn into a legitimate, I mean, I'm not speaking to him as an actor, because obviously he's a little wooden, but the dude's a draw, and there's no two ways about that. People go to watch his movies. I don't know if it's because he's in them or not, but he's really rattled off a long string of hits.
The movie's already got The Rock and Bruce Willis. They're kind of big names, too. I realize that Channing Tatum's star is on the rise, but The Rock and Bruce Willis are, you know, The Rock and Bruce Willis. My big thing is I'm kind of out of my mind waiting for my Bruce Willis G.I. Joe. That's all I care about. The only reason this movie exists.
Ain't that the damn truth?
The only reason this movie exists to me is to get my Bruce Willis Joseph Colton G.I. Joe figure, and after that, I'm done with it. I don't care.
He's coming.
I want it. I got to have it.
James, Mike, did Lee say that he refilmed some scenes as Storm Shadow?
Yes.
Yes.
He did some reshoots, which probably means Ray did some. But beyond that, I really don't know who else did some reshoot. But according to Pilecki, she didn't do any. So I really don't know how much of this break they're actually using for reshoots versus just the 3D conversion. This next letter comes to us from friend of the program, Chris, from the UK. Due to the fact that Hasbro has made a lot of the characters in a modern style already, and that inevitably they will run out of characters to reproduce, and he says in parentheses, I understand that this is a long way off based on the characters that haven't been done yet and newer characters that pop up in the comics, they will surely have to create more in the future with this in Joe mind. Are there any character types you feel are not represented or weak in modern Joe toy line? By types, I mean military specialty, personality, possibly gender, but I'm aware that female figures don't sell, etc. Also, what new / unproduced / comic / custom / fan fiction character would you like to see in the modern Joe toy universe? Try to avoid figures that we know are coming out. And finally, do you think it's necessary that new characters are introduced at all? If so, you could spit on my last question. Go around the horn. Chuck, what new unproduced comic, custom, fan fiction character would you like to see in the modern toy Joe universe that we have not seen already or we know that's coming out?
That's very easy. The What's on Joe Mind figures.
James.
Well,
you're writing a book, so you probably have a whole list.
I don't know if I'm quite ready for the What's on Joe Mind figures.
Yeah, no, neither am I.
I think my number one pick would be, as far as new unproduced figures, would be Crake. I think that's a hot one for Hasbro to tackle while getting's good. As far as older figures go, I mean, for the modern era, at that point, I would probably pull more from the 2002 through 2005 guys, because those are seemingly more modern already. I mean, don't get me wrong, I of course love the vintage line and the vintage characters, but the ones that haven't been done yet are kind of stuck in that era per se. I mean, maybe a repeater, maybe a Rampart, Salvo,
yeah,
Bullhorn. You know, off the top of my head, I think those ones would be really hot. I'm not too familiar with any popular custom figures. Yeah, they're my picks.
Well, the one that I'm always surprised has never been made is Billy.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, cut his mic.
Yeah.
Cut his mic, Gary.
Sorry, Mike. I was going to say it anyways.
So,
cut your mic, Gary.
Dave, Mike has a lot of hate toward Billy for some reason. Just ignore him and continue with your point, please.
Well, oh, okay. I mean, you hate him or love him. I mean, there's a lot of characters that I might not care about, but they're part of the mythos. So, you know, they get made, and it's just weird that he's such a huge part of the comics and has never been touched. Crake is a big one right now in the new comics, so that'd be a good one. In a weird, perverse sort of way, I'd love the Battle Force 2000 characters, just because it's now 2013.
Well, if you would have come to Coil Con, we could have set you up with probably a Dodger.
Oh, cool. Wah, wah. Sorry.
Dave's like, not for the assholes.
It is late. James kind of hit on a lot of the classic ones that I'd be interested in, so like Bullhorn, Repeater.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been any love for some of the characters that came out in the new century, so to speak, just from the blackouts, the barrel rolls.
Barrel roll's going to be in the FSS.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That doesn't really count. Not short selling the club or anything, but I'm just saying that in terms of just mass produced and really getting them back into the mythos type of deal, you know, the FFS is nice. It's a nice nod to us as collectors, but in terms of really working a character, it doesn't do too much. I thought they did a pretty good job of starting some stories that they never got to tell. and it would be kind of nice to see some of them get progressed. I think eventually, though, new characters are a must. You've got to do something that, as much as future generations are going to love that this is what their dads and moms were playing with, and that's what they think is cool, they're going to want something of their own to latch onto. It's going to be necessary. It's always worked that way.
I'm back with Dave. Yeah, Billy. If anyone's listened to this program long enough, they knew I was going to say that anyways. It's a crime that the dude's been in over 100 issues of the comic book and is yet to have a figure, but Big Lob has appeared in one stinking, crappy movie, and we get a Big Lob figure. So that right there in itself is a gross injustice. And again, love him or hate him, he is a massive part of the Marvel and Joe universe, so he should be a figure. Now, here's where the people are probably not going to like what I'm going to say. I don't see Billy coming out any other way other than probably through the club or through the FSS, because I think if you put him on retail, people are going to be like, Billy?
Yeah.
Who the hell is Billy? Yeah. So I don't see him coming out in retail. Even if he did, it might be a mail-away, or it's either going to be a club figure or a mail-away. It's going to be something that's going to not be easy to get, or it's going to be expensive to get. And I just don't see it selling any other way. Another figure that I'd like to see that's made into modern era, and we were just talking about female figures here. I've said it many times on Munitia. I'd like to see Munitia made into a modern era figure. There's not many female Cobra baddies. She's, no, pretty much up there, second to only the Baroness. So put her in there in the modern era. Those are my two suggestions. Again, Crake is a very good, but there's really not much new from the comic book that has really been made in terms of a new character. There's been a couple. Crake's one of them. The Blue Ninja, but I think that thing was hammered to death in the Real American Hero IDW comic that maybe most people want to give some time before they see the next Blue Electronic Ninja. That's what I'd like to see, but definitely Billy, because Big Lob sucks.
So, and while we're at it, Millennium Edition Big Lob.
And that is the mailbag.
Mailbag. Mailbag. Sock postal. As brought to you by All the Cool Stuff.
And now on to the news with Beachhead Mike.
Gathering the best G.I. Joe news from all points around the fandom and community, it's the weekly What's on Joe Mind News Desk with your host and anchor, Beachhead Mike.
The October Club newsletter mentions late fall for the JoeCon location.
Yes, that's pretty much in Brian's little intel. Later this fall, they hope to bring us the information for the next G.I. Joe Collectors Convention. So he identifies to watch online. Mm. And that's really the only news. I will say that they do have some good close-up shots of Kim, Jinx, Arashikage, and the Blind Master, the Cyber Ninja, and the Ultimate Snake Eyes with Timber on page 2. But kind of a light issue, really light issue. There's some articles here by some hack, Justin Bell.
Just skip those.
Skip those. Look out for the staples. You know what to do with those.
Interesting article on cosplay that Ooh. Should be read. I'm waiting for one of these cosplayers to say, I spend all this money on cosplay and I get beat by James Cavanaugh with cardboard instruments every year.
Well,
well-placed socks.
That's not a sock.
But anyways, yeah, James, I've yet to see that, but that is the October 2012 Collectors Club newsletter. Next news item.
Next news item is, speaking of conventions, Rollout Roll Call reveals its 12-inch figure.
Ooh.
And of course, Chuflaka, which I thought was even more newsworthy.
They're bringing the Red Shadows into the 12-inch universe. With Baron Ironblood.
Oh.
Looks pretty cool. I don't know what else they'll have for Rollout Roll Call 4, but that's an awesome start, and going to definitely try to make sure that I'll get one of those added to my collection.
Got to love the ambition on that one.
Yes.
It's a neat-looking piece.
Mm-hmm.
James is not impressed. James is nonplussed.
No. I'm sorry. I said mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. It was all about tone, James.
I wasn't just eating Campbell's soup. All
right. Now, how many people are going to get that one, James?
Very few.
Mm-mm-mm. So, Dave, you skipped CoilCon. You going to make out to Rollout Roll Call?
Where's it at?
Right down the street.
Southampton.
Indiana.
Okay. I'll look. Yeah, that should be fairly easy to make. When is?
No, James is full of shit.
That's James, a commitment, folks. We have English. It.
Yeah, it's Southampton, UK.
Oh, yeah. I'll get right on that. I got a kidney I can still sell, I think. I'd love to go, actually. I do love the Action Force stuff, and I'd love to go back to England. I haven't been back in a long time. But, yeah, no.
Now James and I went – actually, it's still this year. Gosh. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. They haven't announced a date yet for next year. I guess they're kind of waiting for when the movie will launch over there to kind of coincide a date. So yet to be determined date, but looks like we have an exclusive. And anybody that can make it from the USA, good time. Anybody from the UK and Europe, get on over there. It's a good time. It's a growing show. You'll have lots of fun.
Yes, absolutely. I was just going to say, we don't need to get into it too much, but I personally had never been to the UK. The perfect excuse for me to go. And I would say anybody interested, not only attend the show, but maybe try and make a week out of it. See some sights and whatnot.
Next news item.
Epic. Not just big. We're talking epic. Joe cover collection at Robert Adkins blog. Chuck, you've really encapsulated things well this week, Chuck. I have to tip my cap to you on this one.
Well, they're epic.
It is epic.
What else needs to be said?
It is the word to use for the
thing. Justin Seid, he did cover Robert Adkins at his website. He's showcasing a lot of his G.I. Joe work. It's neat to go look at.
Great art. Check it out at his blog at robertatkinsart.blogspot.com.
And keep in mind, Robert's getting the extra push because he attended CoilCon.
CoilCon, the future of conventions.
Next news item.
Noted hack site generalsjoes.com presents the first look at the Retaliation Wave 2 3-packs. Our man Justin, who is noticeably absent. Way to go, Justin. Has already posted his reviews for both Airborne and for Mouse. I guess we're getting the third one coming up soon. It's a good opportunity to go over, take a look at what's coming when the movie is released and the movie merchandise makes its way out to stores. Really neat stuff.
His review of Mouse, he actually gave some decent scores too. Gave it a 4 stars. I'm not a big fan of the yellow hardware that they gave Mouse. This might be a good time to maybe go to a place like Marauder John's to augment the weapons of Mouse there. But definitely that is a actor's likeness head sculpt. Actually, of the next round of 3-packs, this is the one of the ones I'm looking forward to because it's a new character. And we've talked about wanting to see new characters. And, well, here is one. The other figure that he did a review on was Airborne. It's a whole new take on Airborne. It's using a lot of tooling from the Data Viper. It's a great looking figure, great tooling. And I think most people will be happy with this particular figure. It could be argued that he's a little bit bulky, but I really wanted this figure, so I got him a little early. Justin gave him 4 stars, which is a pretty good score. So I think Justin liked him as well. So there you have it, Agent Mouse and Airborne of the next round of 3-packs from Retaliation.
Nice. Next news item.
Next news item.
Joe at New York City Comic Con.
They will not be on the floor, but they will be doing a presser like the day before on the 10th. And one of the things they will be talking about will be G.I. Joe. My understanding, we might see some new stuff. So don't see a lot of new stuff, but maybe a little bit of new stuff. Read between the lines there. But that was broken on Marvelous News, and we picked that up off of Justin's site just recently. So that will be at the New York Comic Con, which is next week, rapidly approaching. So we'll see.
And of course, they're doing it Wednesday night because it's the day after we record.
Of course.
That's how it works. That's how they know. They know. They're trying to keep one half step ahead of what's on Joe Mine. Really, we're not bright enough to just start recording on Wednesday, so they might as well.
Next news item.
Say, hey, Chuck.
Hey, Mike.
Do you miss KB Toys?
Yes, I do.
Then you might want to try Toyzam.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Toyzam is one of those pop-up seasonal toy stores like the Toys R Us Express. And actually, it's not super real news. It just was mentioned to me by a friend of the program, Pat Stewart. This is actually owned by, if I believe we've did our research well here, Chuck, owned by Spencer's, who also does some of those pop-up Halloween stores we see about this time of year. You'll find these in a lot of vacant spots that are in the mall that they haven't filled up yet or replacing some of those Halloween stores. Basically, they're just like the Toys R Us Express. It's not really news. news. It's something that we just want to point out that a lot of people just haven't heard of.
Well, and the thing is, the toys themselves are like from like 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. Like, I know the Star Wars figures last year were from 2009.
When they had the Toys R Us Expresses open around the Indianapolis area, the 25th Wave 5 vehicles that were really hard to find, like the Stinger and the Arctic Kiss Tank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those were in there for like 10 bucks. There might still be some Pursuit of Cobra stuff that you can find at some of these stores, but it's worth a shot to go in and take a look. If not, snag up some stuff for Toys for Tots.
The thing I loved about KB's is it was like a little time machine. And you, if you missed something at the real stores, you could like go into KB's a couple months later, and there it would be.
That's true. You could see the re-released Joe Manimals hanging on pegs right next to the original ones.
Pretty much.
It's like a time capsule, but just not buried. Yeah.
What was always funniest about KB for me is that they would mark everything down to prices that were still higher than you were paying anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. Like, ridiculously high. And for some reason, they went out of business.
That's shocking to me.
I know.
Well, I remember when they had the Crimson.
Oh, yeah.
That was reasonably priced.
We never got it here.
You never got it? That was a His Tank, an Asp, mm-hmm. and three figures mm-hmm. for, what, 20, 25 bucks. And it was reasonably priced, which pissed me off because, again, the story going back to the 2002 JoeCon, I just bought that damn red His Tank for half the cost of a freaking plane ticket. And then 2 years later, it comes out at freaking at KB for... for 20, 25 bucks. Like, damn it.
Really, the trick there is, Gary, to wait 10 years and then just win it.
Is that the news?
I think that's the news.
And that's all the news from Beachhead Mike and What's on Joe Mind. It's now time for shout-outs and what we got in this week. This segment of What's on Joe Mind is brought to you by BountyHunterToys.com. BountyHunterToys.com is one of the largest independently owned online vintage toy dealers in Canada. Check out BountyHunterToys.com for their wide selections of all things G.I. Joe, as well as Star Wars, Wrestling, He-Man, and Transformers. Need cash? BountyHunterToys.com buys your old toys and trades also. Check them out at BountyHunterToys.com. Like them on Facebook for a 10% discount code and follow them on Twitter today, BountyHunterToys.com. More fun than a poke in the eye.
I think it's time for some shout outs.
Chuck, what'd you get in?
Nothing Joe related, but I did get a new cell phone.
Sweet.
New technology.
It's the Droid Razor M. I'm toying with the idea of doing a review for it on my YouTube channel. Keep an eye out for that.
All right.
So, Chuck, if we were going to see your video reviews, where would we go to see those?
YouTube.com/ChuckDog1999.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Dave, anything new with you? Any shout-outs or anything?
Like Chuck said, there's not a lot of Joe. Like about a week or two ago, I did find the Dollar General stuff. So
excellent.
Loaded up on that. I'd picked up one or two at conventions here or there, but I like loaded up. Toys R Us just got in. I don't know how you guys feel about the Hobbit, but they just got in the Hobbit figures, which I'm super excited about because I'm a big Tolkien geek. And they're 3¾-inch scale, so I'm super happy. Beyond that, not a whole heck of a lot. It's actually been a very slow couple weeks for me for toy buying. So,
Mike, what's new with you?
What isn't new?
I don't know. You tell me.
I actually found one of those Renegades helicopters at a TJ Maxx the other day. It was on clearance. I paid $9.
The Black Dragon?
The Black Dragon, yes.
Nice.
That was a neat little find. I wasn't expecting to see a whole lot at TJ Maxx these days. I'm still kind of awaiting. We actually have a number of Ross stores opening in the area. I get to go into one of them for the first time and see what the hubbub's
about. Yeah, we're getting one here in Springfield, too. I'm like, just in time for the new G.I. Joe. Oh, well, okay.
So I'm hoping that they'll have something stocked away that I can go and raid, because there'll be two of them.
Are you going to be a member now of the Wait for Ross crowd?
No, 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 but I will enjoy crushing their hopes and dreams by raiding their Ross stores anyway.
Okay.
By buying their Joes and distributing them to, like, Chuck. Hey, it's a thought. I rob from the rich and I give to the Chuck.
All right. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I've run myself aground on that one. Besides that, not too much. I'm going to echo the not a whole lot going on out there in Joe world. Kind of taking the opportunity to stockpile some cash and hopefully get some of 2013's goals met as far as traveling and getting out to... I'm just sorry. I was reading James's notes. But...
I appreciate you leaving that one for me.
I'll leave that one for you if you want, Gary. But I do want to give a shout out, of course, to our sponsors. Of course, Dave Tree at All the Cool Stuff, JoeArmory.com, and Bounty Hunter Toys, and Kokomo Toys.
Bounty Hunter Toys just opened their storefront this weekend.
Yes, a grand reopening for Bounty Hunter
Toys. So congratulations to them, yes.
Much applause out in, where are they at up in Canada?
Hamilton.
In Hamilton. So if you're up in the Canadian parts of the listenership, go check out and say hey to Mike and tell him what's on Joe Mine sent you, and maybe he'll give us more sponsor money. But don't hold him over a barrel for it or nothing. It's not what we're in this for.
Can I jump in real quick with a shout out to someone that I forgot?
Absolutely.
I feel bad.
Sure.
Actually, Mike talked to him more than me. My pal Sean Russell, who lives down in Louisiana and who was my host for JoeCon. He's a good kid, and I really had fun hanging out with him. And I kind of threw him under the bus on our podcast this week.
Uh-oh.
Oh. So I'm giving you a shout out on What's on Joe Mind, Sean. You're a cool guy. You're a good friend. You're a good sport, hopefully, because that podcast just came up today.
Oh, my God. What have you done, Dave?
Duvall has been talking about his damn cat for like 4 weeks, and Sean finally said something to me in a text about, I'm tired of hearing about Duvall's cat. So on the show this week, I basically said, you know, a listener, I won't name names, Sean, basically said enough with the cat, and I think it needed to be said. Well, so it went bad. You never talk bad about a man's cat. It got real passive aggressive and nasty after that. So And I spent the rest of the night talking to Sean. He's like, oh, thanks a lot. And I'm like, you said it. He's like, to you.
It had
to be done, man.
See, that's the good part about our healthy What's on Joe Mind anger, Dave. It's all aggressive.
There you go.
I guess if you want to learn more about the cat,
please,
we encourage you to go to Toy World Order and listen to their podcast,
please. If
you want
to learn everything about the pets of the Duvall family, feel free to go to www.toyworldorder.com, and they're pretty much co-stars on most of the podcasts. I shouldn't even be snotty about it, because this week we recorded at my place, and we had to lock the dog out, so you can hear through the whole episode this...
That is a different version of lockdown. So that's not the version we're used to.
That just perked her up, too. So now she's like looking at me.
We haven't even got to the sports desk yet, folks.
No, we haven't. Good grief.
Anything else?
No, I'm good. I'm sorry. But I needed to.
No, don't be sorry.
I need to acknowledge Sean.
We love
shout
outs.
He loves G.I. Joe, and he's a good kid, and he was a great host. So he was a good compatriot in arms during the line of doom.
During the line, yes.
The line.
Uh-huh.
I will share your shout out to Sean, who is always vigilant and trying to find out what we've got going on here on our gram. And we thank him for his interest. And as with all of our fans, you know, if you're spending any amount of time with us, we do appreciate it. We're in this, so we're happy that you're listening to us and you enjoy the time and the effort that we spend on our little two-bit slime show.
Real quick, onto the sports desk. Congratulations to Miguel Cabrera, Triple Crown winner in Major League Baseball for 2012. Very good. That's an achievement right there, folks. I don't care what you say about talking about sports. First Triple Crown since 67.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I don't care. Suck it. That is awesome. Also, hell, I don't know if anyone from the NFL listens to this, but definitely best wishes to Indianapolis coach Chuck Pagano, who is suffering a treatable form of leukemia. We hope that's treated and he gets back on the sidelines fine. And that just leads us into this week's rendition of What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football.
What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football.
This is the next 5 minutes you can probably fast forward past. Anyways. Mike, what's been going on in the league for the last 2 weeks? I am off the schneid.
You did get off the schneid. You did take care of the Long Island RHPs a couple of weeks ago.
I did do that, yes. And all that trash you were talking about, T.Y. Hilton, he had 114 yards in receiving yards in that next game.
I think you owe me some thanks for that.
I owe you nothing.
Because that's what I do. I badmouth people and they perform. We will not be cuckolded by this loser. I am going to go out and put up some freaking yards.
So, Mike, tell us about the standings and who currently holds what in terms of trophies.
Two undefeated. At the head of the Super Joe division is the 3-1 Airborne's Assaulters. Whereas in the Extreme division, the 4-0 Charlottesville Keelhauls lead the way. In the Sigma 6 division, the Springfield Teal Ninjas. Let's see, Gary's Fort Wadsworth Warriors are 1-3, so I wouldn't exactly say that you're off the schneid so much as just not exclusively dating the schneid.
No, I'm sharing the schneid. That's fine. I will take my one win right now and try to build upon being high in the waiver wire to try to get that one little running back that everyone tends to forget about. So I'm trying. And it paid off in week 3 for me, and not so much in week 4.
You've been passed in the standings by the New York City Tatums of one Arun Singh, who rattle in at 2-2. Good luck to Arun. I believe he's getting married this coming weekend. Many well wishes to Mr. and future Mrs. Singh on their nuptials. Chuck, you invited to that one?
No, actually, I wasn't.
Speaking of the schneid, we still have some people that are on the schneid. Who's still on the schneid?
We have some serious schneid going on. We've got the 0-4 Oregon Recycle Vipers, as chaired by Mr. Scott Stanley. The 0-4 elitist D-bags of Jason Larrick, and the 0-4 Austin Quinners. The Quinners are 0-4, Quinless.
Come on, Todd.
Of Todd Weinzierl. Yes, 0-4.
Did he homer up and put too many Vikings on his team?
He might have. But of course, again, the assaulters are Troy Osgood. Congratulations on leading the division at the quarter mark, Troy. Dan Uffman of the Charlottesville Keel Hauls, our very regular friend on Twitter. And the Teal Ninjas, Tommy Fauntleroy, the 18th entry. The last man in.
Last man in, 4-0, still undefeated.
I believe that is, in fact, a suck it.
Still, the 72 Dolphins have the champagne on ice.
It is.
How are we doing on the trophies?
Let's get to the trophies. The trophy case has been kind of weird. We've set up these banners to get handed out every week.
I guess it's a traveling trophy, huh?
Yeah, they haven't really been handing them out every week. So it's always kind of tough to tell what's going on with them. I know the lowest scoring team, which would have gotten the New England Patriots banner of surrender, this week would have been the Oregon Recycle Vipers of Scott Stanley, and the team that took the biggest whipping to get the Cobra Crimson cape of surrender. Looks like it would have been your very lovely wife Debbie's Paris Nanomites.
Yeah, I'm going to mute it when it gets to that part so she doesn't hear that. Things will be thrown in my household.
Debbie takes her fantasy football very seriously.
You guys don't know.
Struggling along at 1-3. She's barely keeping up with the Fort Wadsworth squad.
She is like a sailor on game day. I'm not kidding. She's definitely into her football.
Goodness.
It's good when she wins. Who do we got coming up on the schedule here for this coming weekend?
Somebody's getting off the schneid, as the Quinners will visit the elitist D-bag. So somebody's going to have a win. Meanwhile, our game of the week, the Buffalo Wild Bills at 3-1, will visit the Springfield Teal Ninjas. A high-powered shootout. We'll see how that one works. You, Gary, you've got a good shot. You've got the Recycle Vipers this week.
I got their winless Recycle Vipers at 0-4, are at my home stadium. I play indoors underneath the motor pool. Is that this week's What's on Joe Mind rendition of the Fantasy Football League?
That is this week's rendition of the What's on Joe Mind Fantasy Football League. And of course, much love to the New York Yankees winners of the 2012 American League East.
Blah. Anyways, what I got in this week, the wifey, because she's not on lockdown, but I am. Found me not one, but two sets of Dollar General, or as they are appropriately called, the basic assortment figures. I also had a good person from His Tank, goes by the name Firm Pulse, says, I heard you needed another trooper. And unlike Mike, who didn't take it away from me, says, I will just give it to you. Give me your address. So Firm Pulse, you are one hell of a guy. Thank you very much.
This is very true. Nice.
Yes. And I will make it up to you. You just name the favor within reason, of course.
Uh-oh.
If it's anything like that, I'll just send you James Cavanaugh.
What's great about that is that Dave made the James sound.
Did I?
A little snort laugh that James gives you. He made the James sound.
Also, did get my mail-away Marvel Universe Baron Von Doom incentive figure for their digital subscription, which was nice. I haven't opened it yet, but it's in a nice little sealed boxy there. So I got that. I haven't myself purchased very much. It's typically Debbie says, hey, I found this. Here you go. So how does that work with the 30-day program?
If you're given stuff, that's okay. First of all, I never created the filthy thing, and I never really bought into it either. And from what I understand, it was actually never really a thing. It was like a joke that made it to air and now has turned into this whole nightmarish pain in my behind. but I think the idea is that it's about your own self-control. So it's about you exercising willpower and not buying toys. Because, I mean, my question is, because I pre-ordered, like, the subscription figures, I pre-ordered some other stuff, and if I, like, did the 30-day thing and they came up during that period, would that count? Would it not count? I don't know. Honestly, I don't care. But it keeps coming up, so I got to deal with it.
Let's encourage other listeners during this downtime. Maybe you should try the 30-day program and write us with your results. whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. We will share that with everyone at Toy World Order and on our program here as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be thrilled. But their little seed has taken flower now.
Someone will do it on this program. They will write us back in 30 days and say they pulled it off.
Honestly, like, if she hadn't picked, like, right in the middle of toy show season, really, Star Wars is done for the year. Joe kind of crapped out. I think I could pull it off in November. I really do. I think I might even try because people would freak out. Like, it'd be Dave went 30 days without buying toys. It's
dun, 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 dun.
The dogs live together. Mass hysteria.
I would be remiss if I didn't give noted author James Cavanaugh's last words. He said that we should give a shout out to all of the girls on Plenty of Fish that he's been hitting up while he's been recording with us. So to all you gals that are listening to our podcast that are on Plenty of Fish that James is hitting on, holla.
Booyah!
That's it for this episode. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can call or text us at 262-515-9656. Just because the show is over doesn't mean the fun ends. Join us on Twitter during the week, head on over to our Podbean site and find our Twitter profiles on the right-hand side of the page. As always, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Host bios, community forum threads, and archive episodes along with everything else with our show can be found on our webpage, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. Visit and bookmark it today. Download our show at iTunes, InsidePulse.com, and Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it for free in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's On Your Mind, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Check out GeekCastRadio.com for other great podcast shows such as Movie Week in Review, GCRN Retro, Tooncast Beyond, and Mass Mayhem. Go to GeekCastRadio.com and unleash the geek in you today.
Has James ever actually finished an episode with us?
Yes, he has.
All right, because I know he's been on plenty. He's our number one substitute host, the first guy out of the substitute bin.
And I believe he's finished off a couple girls from Plenty of Fish as well.
Probably in the time that took you to read that, yeah. Probably since we spoke to him last. We'll just leave it at that.
Oh, beware. Wherever James goes, he checks Plenty of Fish.
Even New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Anyway, this is a really good time to end the show. So for our showrunner, Chuck, co-host Justin, Mike, and James, guest of the program, Dave from Toy World Order, we want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Gary, saying all our men and women serving Godspeed, God bless, and come home safe. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you the next time for the next episode of What's On Joe Mind. Good night.
Evening. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. That sleep should be